change the culture, the mindset, the expectation level, and improve the brand of Indiana Hoosier football.
Back. We're starting off how we always start off with Brad, and obviously it's with Brian Haynes, because actually just today we finally got extension details for Coach Haynes. Last year, Brian Haynes became the first Indiana coordinator to break the $1 million barrier. This time, Brian Haynes becomes the first Indiana coordinator to break the $2 million barrier. If you haven't heard, if you've been living under a rock, he's staying in Indiana. Went as far as to tweet back at Hoosier fans Signetti's quote of "why would I leave?" And then when he was challenged to grab some guys in the portal to fix the holes in the defense, he responded with "did, you're up, get to work." Fire me up.
Who's up? Who's up?
We're up. The fans are up.
No. What was the quote? You said, fans, you're up?
You're up, get to work.
Who, fans? Us?
So he said, somebody, the response was like, "Coach, like, love that you're back. Like, just got to fix some of those holes in the transfer portal and we're right back in business." And he responded with, "did, you're up, get to work." You are up, like, not you're up.
So they were complaining about us having holes in the portal?
No. It wasn't like a complaint
after
thing.
After he signed his $2 million extension?
Yeah, it was like...
people think?
It was like a... Nope. Like, it was more so of like trying to rally, not realizing that they had already done a shitload of recruiting in the last 2 to 3 weeks and they filled a bunch of holes. And so that was his response, which fired me up. Which leads me into, because we're getting a Broyles Award announcement, I believe, tomorrow. So make your case for why Brian Haynes should win the Broyles Award.
Brian Haynes took a 3-digit ranked defense and turned it over in 1 year into a top 10 defense in almost every category. It's about as seismic of a shift as a team like Indiana going from never winning a 10 win season in their whole history to doing it in the first year with a new head coach. It's with Signetti winning all these Coach of the Year awards, it does not happen without Brian Haynes. Therefore, Brian Haynes should win Assistant Coach of the Year.
100%
Case
agree.
In point.
Full-blown stamp. I got nothing more to add to that. I made the case under the Broyles Award account that, like you said, they were 101st, I believe, in team defense in 2023. They were 6th this year. They were first against the run. They got after the quarterback. They played a really exciting brand of physical football and filled a stadium. And, yeah, Coach Sig got a ton of recognition for it, and very deservedly so. But you're right. It's not a one-man job. This staff is full of incredible coaches, and Brian Haynes is up to be recognized as the best among all of the assistant coaches in the country, and he deserves it.
Yeah, he also just got paid $2 million a year. He's probably the highest-paid coach in that finalist list. So in that sense, he might be the best. Because Jim Knowles isn't on that list.
Yeah, Jim Knowles and Wink from Notre Dame are the only two coordinators that made more.
Wink might be on the list.
He is.
Potentially.
But those are the only two coordinators. Jim Knowles got it this year, and so, like, there's three guys making $2 million at a coordinator spot. Brian Haynes is one of them. It's very well deserved.
Yeah, for those questioning whether we have holes in the defense, I will say that we could probably use, I mean, depending, we'll break down the rooms, but depending on, you know, who steps up or not, it would be nice to have some more D-line depth, maybe an O-line. But besides that, like, everything's all settled. I mean, a star linebacker wouldn't hurt. But everything else looks solid. I mean, it's at a point where we're fine, so like adding one more at any of the positions is fine at this point, because they have their projected starters on the roster already going into spring. So it's really just about evaluation in that and seeing if they are what they're looking for, and then they'll make the necessary changes.
100%. If you feel like you can upgrade, you 100% attack a guy, but they're not at, they're past the point of just adding guys to add depth. But somebody who does agree with you, Brad, and like looking for help along the defensive line is Angelo Pons, who's been all over Twitter scouting the transfer portal. He's come up on a couple guys that he's tagged a couple of the Indiana coaches on. So he's out there doing work. So you have to imagine that this staff isn't just sitting on their hands. I know they're out there doing something.
Yeah, I saw this guy with talking about some Utah State transfer. He's coming in like at a position of need. Like, I would say like another edge would be ideal, because I think a D tackle pretty solid there, bringing back six guys or four guys from last year, two transfers, and then two freshmen coming in. Decent group. Edge, there's just a lot more unprovenness, less play time in that room. So bringing in a guy that's played a lot would be great, just for competition purposes, really.
Yep, 100% agree. One thing we don't have to worry about is Bray Lynch's standing. He just signed with Hoosiers Connect, locked in. Love to see that. Locking down guys on the offensive line. Love to see Hoosiers Connect getting the guys, taking care of the guys. That's why we support Hoosiers Connect, because they're gonna go out and take care of the guys. So shout
We
out to Bray
still need.
Lynch. Shout out to Hoosiers Connect.
We need to figure out if Bray Lynch is going to play right guard or left guard.
Well, we
I think he's
got.
going he's going to play left guard.
Well,
Played right guard last year.
the spring game is April 19th, Brad. So we have a little bit of time to figure that one out. Throw some configurations of an offensive line together and mix and match guys until we all get it wrong. And they put the five guys out on the field in August.
It's the guard spot that's the hardest to predict, really. Center and tackles are pretty set in stone as of right now, but the guards are what throws you off. Because we nailed it last year with center and tackles. We missed, or I missed, on what it like. I got Evans and Lynch right over Stevens and Kidwell, but because I think
Yeah,
that
we have
was going to be
flipped.
our O-line the whole time. I just had them mixed up in terms of which side they're going to be on.
But we'll be
Close.
better.
We'll be better. We get better every year, you know? We're just
Speaking of
trying to
getting
stay more on
better,
it. I'm thinking Bray Lynch left guard. Bray Lynch left guard.
I wouldn't
I
move
like Khalil
Lynch.
Benson on the right side.
If Lynch played left guard last year, I'd leave him there. If he didn't, I'd leave him at right guard because he was great.
And then put Benson at left guard
No,
for
that's
Carter
fair.
Smith. That'd be a good.
It'd be kind of clamps. I don't know. We'll see. Speaking of getting better, Brad, 20 class of 2026 official visits are already being scheduled. I saw like at least five or six guys tweet like the graphic Indiana's using is like this like outside the plane window with the it's a really cool graphic of Memorial Stadium packed to the brim and like a flyover. And they're bringing in tons and tons of talent. Like there are a lot of really, really talented guys who are already signing up for official visits. You have the list in front of you, right?
Yeah, I do. There's 12 people with scheduled official visits going into this summer so far already. Because OVs don't really start till April. So in April and like late April, like April 25th, Damon Ferguson, 3-star from Maryland, comes to town. He's an athlete. D-line Gabriel Hill comes April 28th. He's scheduled. These are all very heavy Indiana leans at this point. It's really going to take, I think these are their only official visits. I think we're in a recruiting battle for Ferguson between us and Duke right now. Then May 2nd. Should I just go through each day that's scheduled so far? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, May 2nd, Evan Hampton, a white boy running back from Owensboro, Kentucky. Love to see it. These are all 3 stars, by the way. And Nick Reddish, a safety from a pretty prestigious high school in Charlotte, North Carolina, called Independence High. Sneaky, high-level 3-star. All these guys are about high-level 3 stars. They're not, they're fringe 4 stars, a lot of
Well,
these guys.
Hill is a 4-star on a couple different sites. I've seen Reddish as a 3 and Hampton as a 3. But again, like 3-star athletes are like those dudes are talented guys. Like that just means at some point you're going to start in your college career.
Yeah, Roe Hardy's is our projected starter as a true sophomore next year, and he was a 0-star recruit. He was the
Yeah,
guy I
but it
kind of wrote
doesn't
off
matter.
when I did my resume preview. So, maybe I should write off more guys. It kind of brings up this other linebacker, go figure, 0-star right now on 24/7, but apparently you're telling me he's the best athlete in Kentucky.
Self-proclaimed, and I'm believing him.
Jacob Savage. 0-star on 24/7. Linebacker out of Union, Kentucky. He's going to visit June 6th, along with Kazmir Hicks, cornerback from Indy, Decatur Central. Corey
He's
Amatry,
good.
a running back from Haslett, Michigan. And Brody McCorder, quarterback target from Cartersville, Georgia. That's a big weekend for us. June 6th. Circle it
That's
on
a
your
massive
calendar.
weekend. Yeah, honestly, if I had to like without because we don't talk to anybody within the program, we don't have any like can the we don't know the big board. But to put if I had to put one name on top of that big board, it's Brody McCorder. Like they've been all over this dude. Like Chandler Whitmer has met with him multiple times. He's met the offensive coordinator. He was at Junior Day. Like they're going after him.
Yeah,
It's it.
when you're building a class, it's all obviously not end all be all, because recruiting classes end to kind of work themselves out in the end. But it does really help to have a quarterback commit early in the cycle to kind of set the tone, like, hey, we got our guy for your class. Let's ride. Here's your guy. Like, if you want to talk, you should talk to him. He's a commit. I don't know if commits are allowed to talk to uncommitted guys, but in theory, I'm sure they're allowed. I'm sure they do it all the time. So, and then June 13th, Jerrion Campbell, running back out of Georgia, and an unrated D lineman from Maryland, Rodney White, visit. And then June 20th, two D linemen are scheduled to visit. King Liggins, first team all name, King Liggins. Out of Oaklawn, Brother Rice High School, Illinois, and then Blake Smythe, D lineman from Indiana. Big boy, 6'3", 275.
Yeah, it's a nice list. And it's only gonna it's literally only gonna grow. And
Yeah,
those are
all
like
these.
these are guys that are gonna push into 4-star territory. Like these are all really talented kids.
Yeah, it's a good sign. Like, we're always just trusting with Sig in the evaluation process. Here's just some facts. Like, besides the unrated guys, all these guys signed up for visits are ranked in the top 100 at their position by these pundits. And yeah, so they're not like under the radar guys by any means, but they're not as maybe they're more diamonds in the rough, as Sig seems to continue to hit on time and time again at every stop he's been to. At Alabama, he had, resources to go after the top guys in the state right away. It's a process at Indiana. Still got to find the diamonds in the rough. It's going to be a while since we're able to, pick Jeremiah Smith from IMG. It's going to be a few years out until we can do that. So just got to trust the process. We're going to build it out. And it always goes back to the Notre Dame game, though, when we talk about recruiting. What are your thoughts?
You want when a program's building, you want to see that start to take shape in the recruiting, right? So it's like last year there was like quick buzz, right? And the class ended up being really strong. Byron Baldwin Jr. is the highest rated guy in the class. He's the fourth rated highest rated guy, commit of all time for Indiana. I think when it's all said and done, there are going to be multiple guys rated at that level or higher than Baldwin Jr. Like that, the level of attention and the base level of player that has been paying attention to, receiving offers from, putting Indiana on the graphics, has raised from like, and not like, like again, it, this isn't to put down or to talk down against anybody who has 3 stars, 2 stars, 1 star, like to no stars, like it literally doesn't matter. Stars don't matter.
No. But in terms of perception, yeah,
you want to see the general star level of the guys that are visiting continue to rise. And from somebody who's been paying attention for a year, the class last year was really talented. This one's stacking up to be significantly more talented.
I agree. I think you nailed on the head when you just, you want to see the level of recruit continue to rise. And even though these are 3-star guys, they're high-end 3-star guys, all of them. No more guys ranked outside the top 100 at their position nationally. No more of that stuff. It's high level guys, and we're trying to find the best ones out of that group. You know, we.
And listen, like, if you're a 5-star athlete as a sophomore or junior in high school, and then everyone else matures too, it's like, cool, you had that advantage when you were younger. Versus like, some guys mature later. Some guys like just need a different voice in their head. Some guys are playing the wrong position. Like, so that's when you really put it on the coaching staff. And it's like, Cignetti and this staff has proven over and over again that they're going to find the right guys. They're going to put them in the right position to succeed. They're going to get the best out of them. So when, like, anytime this staff targets somebody, my like eyes light up. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this kid's probably got something. And then when you see guys they target that are also like have this positive perception in the public light and with the pundits, it's like, okay, that's the direction that your football team needs to move in order to climb these hypothetical discussions. Like, this is where the SEC wins. The SEC wins all these offseason discussions because it can say, look at this board and look at how many guys are coming to our conference. But it's like, the more Indiana wins, and this is true for any team, but the more Indiana wins, the more they're going to start creeping up on those boards. And the kids growing up are going to be watching Indiana play and Indiana win and Kurt Cignetti be on Pat McAfee and see all this positivity and buzz around the Hoosiers. And they're going to grow up going, that looks like the place to be. Unlike, you know, kids like us who grew up watching Nick Saban going, the only place you can win is Alabama.
100%. And, you know, there is this idea that stars don't matter, but which is true, like, in a sense. Like, if you're a 3-star, that doesn't matter. But when you're talking as in a macro sense, like, as many highly touted guys you can bring in as possible is only going to help you. What sets teams apart is obviously the coaching and your ability to develop this talent over time. Scheme as well, and just overall coaching, that's obviously a difference. But and then you get to the point, and then when you get to that high level, then it's like, okay, Indiana and Notre Dame, two very well coached teams, two very talented teams, however, talent just a tier above, you know, just a step up overall across the board with Notre Dame. And that's how you get the results that you do sometimes. And I'm not saying on a given day Indiana couldn't beat Notre Dame on a neutral field, but I will tell you, probably with those two rosters and that situation, more than 5 times out of 10, Notre Dame's going to win that game.
Yeah, it's just like it's not. What happens. The nature of the beast is you have better players. You're more likely to win the game, and the better you perform, the more likely you are to get better players. And it's just like. Like we said, if you look at what the bottom of this class is going to be, the bottom of this class is going to be higher than any class I think we've ever seen in Indiana. And that's the exciting part. Because when you're able to build out that roster depth, and a lot of these guys spend a year or 2 years or maybe even 3 years on the roster and like in the system and around, and those are the guys you have plugging and playing versus like trying to fill 30 spots in the transfer portal every year, it's like, it's impossible. So it's also going to, like, bringing in multiple classes like this where you can just be like, okay, cool. I know in a year or two, I'm going to have multiple starters at a lot of positions. It also allows you to be more refined in the portal. It allows you to take bigger shots in recruiting. It's a healthier roster. And that's ultimately what the Hoosiers are trying to build because, yeah, they've had a ton of success, but this is literally, we're going into year 2 of the Cignetti era. And in old school college football, it took 4 years to build a roster. And yeah, you can do it with the transfer portal, but it still takes time to build out the roster depth it takes to maintain a high level program. Not that they can't continue to do it the way they've done it through the portal, but it's risky to keep rebuilding the plane every offseason instead of just having it created and then patching up a few parts.
And kind of a thought I had from the sense of like stars mattering and things like that. Like stars don't matter also in the micro sense, because there's four stars all the time that, you know, you get these recruiting classes just to get, you know, these great recruiting classes to appease the boosters. And then all of a sudden, you know, half your guys stink. You know, they're just not good at football. They're just great athletes in high school, but bigger, faster, stronger in high school. But once they get to college, they're actually not that great at football players. And it reminds me a lot of the Jim Mora era in that sense, where tons of like top 20 recruiting classes across the board, but then when it came down to the field, and they were, I would say they're a well-coached team because they got in there with Rick Neuheisel's guys and won right away. But, you know, and they started declining over time, you know, once Rosen left, really. Like during the Rosen era, as he started heading out there, once he left, there was real no, like, yeah, there were tons of four stars across the roster, but were they all that good? No, not really. There's horror stories with top recruiting classes. I just want to make sure that, and to wrap up my point, I just want to make sure Cignetti's getting his guys, you know, the guys that he wants. He, even when we start getting four and five stars, I still want him to find the Rohardys and the unrated guys and find those diamonds in the rough and just continue to just hit on guys.
I just think this guy loves football and loves watching film so much that it's just inevitable he finds guys like Rohardy. Like the dude consumes too much ball. He knows what he's looking for in any mold, and it doesn't matter what anybody else's opinion is. If he sees the things that trigger in his mind and he's like, this is what I'm looking for in a football player, he doesn't give a shit what anybody else says. So I'm, especially at what, is he 66? 63? How old is
he? We should know Kurt Cignetti's age.
It's really irrelevant, but it's like the...
Relevant. He's 63.
In terms of, like, the dude is steadfast in his recruiting ways. And not that he can't adapt, but he's got his principles. And somebody at that age with that amount of success isn't going to change his principles. And the fact that it's yielded so much success for him, it's like, what, magically, it's just going to stop working. Like, I don't think watching film and paying attention and, like, having a specific guide to what you're looking for in a player is ever not going to work.
Yeah, he just outworks the other coach. That's what he does.
He just loves ball. Speaking of Indiana coaches, Grant Cain got the chance to talk Indiana special teams at the Glazer Clinic last week, I believe it was. It's a clinic put on by coaches for coaches. So really cool to see Coach Cain get to go over there, flex his expertise, talk about the Indiana Hoosiers special teams unit, which was ridiculous in 2024. Second number of long punt returns, first in punt blocks, first in vice wins, 11th in field goal percentage, 89.2 PFF grade, that was third in FBS, second in special teams tackling, highlighting Bryson Bonds and Bones Jones, third in the POI matrix from special teams POI, and 24th in special teams, or SP plus special teams efficiency. I don't even know what that is, but hell of a year for the boys. Shout out Coach Cain. Big time. Love seeing Hoosier coaches flex their knowledge, share knowledge, be recognized for it.
Yeah, is that by Jay Glazer? This clinic?
I don't think it was affiliated with Jay Glazer. I feel like I would have... I did like a 30-second deep dive on the Twitter account, and I didn't see like at Jay Glazer in the bio, so I'm assuming if it was connected to him in any way, he probably would probably be talking about it.
True. Yeah, I couldn't help but think of the Ohio State game. When I saw that graphic, couldn't help it.
That was one game. It was one
great game. Year. Great year. Man. Man. He just dropped the ball and they kicked it to the wrong side. Just two mistakes and they were just tragic. Two mistakes all year and they were just tragedy. The worst moment, too. Unbelievable.
It's just going to make the eventual victory that much sweeter.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Another nugget, Brad, that came out last week. Shout out to Indiana volleyball commit Elena Pollard. But she posted a picture wearing a white Indiana football helmet. Now, this could mean nothing because when I went for like my orientation day or whatever, like I have a picture with an Indiana helmet. Actually, now that I think about it, they wore that helmet that year. So we could be seeing white helmets.
They probably just have those white helmets just laying around. I would love the white helmets to be back, but I'm just not buying into Adidas. That's why we need to move to Jordan.
No, I'm with that. Jumpman. 10 years. IUX Jumpman 2035. Like, I'm full-blown on that train. Like, I'm not a fan of Adidas. I don't like the way they present the university, and I can't believe we signed a 10-year contract with them last year. I'm actually sick to my stomach.
Yeah, UCLA made the same move. It's working out great.
Yeah, if you want to have the Adidas discussion right now, we can have it, but it's just going to be me pissed off for 5 minutes.
If they bring back the white helmets, I might be back on Adidas. Because I've just been asking for that for so long, just the road all whites.
Just make them look cool. Look like you give any type of shit about the team that's going to like best represent your university or your brand. Like, give them the best, give them the A materials. Give them two jerseys or two helmets. Like, what are we even talking about? This is so ridiculous. It's a joke. And I know it has to do with, like, AAU basketball connections and the shoe game and, like, Adidas and their foothold on it and how important / devastating it would be to lose Indiana basketball as a brand for Adidas. But fuck Adidas.
They need us more than we need them.
They don't do anything positive for this. I literally can't, outside of the college football playoff jacket, which like probably wasn't even their choice because Nike had the same one with Nike logo on it. Like I can't point to one thing they've ever released that I wanted. And I have the Ultra Boost. I literally have the shoes. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, no, we need to move on.
Sickening.
From Adidas.
Yeah, we do. Let's talk about something fun. Indiana had three players in the PFF 101 from 2024. That was Rourke, Kamara, and Pons. That was tied for fifth in the nation. Big time. Shout out to those guys. Love seeing Hoosier recognition, like I keep saying. And like, yeah, those guys had great seasons. Now they're immortalized forever. They're on the ESPN top 100. They're in the PFF top 101. Like, yeah, they had great seasons. They deserve to be recognized for it.
Yeah, those guys. Two of those guys are back.
Yes, they are.
And speaking of Kamara, the other guy we upgraded. No disrespect to Rourke, but.
Well, if you want. Speaking of Mendoza, then Fernando Mendoza's Hoosiers Connect Players Perspective podcast released last Tuesday, so I guess a week ago. If you haven't had the chance to catch that yet, go check that out. Awesome young man. Really excited to watch him play quarterback for Indiana. The dude just loves football, loves working, like just wants to learn the playbook, be around the guys, and go out there and compete. Like, you literally can't ask for anything else from your starting quarterback. It's just, again, if you haven't checked out any of the Mendoza content that came out last week from any platform, go check them all out. I saw a great tweet. I believe it was from Hoosier Review, and it ended with "Choose Mendoza." So choose Mendoza. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Kamara.
Wait, so he has a podcast?
No.
Okay.
No. He went on Hoosier Hysterics last week, and he went on, or 2 weeks ago, like a week and a half ago, and he went on Hoosiers Connect last week. So there's two different Mendoza pods out there. No, it wasn't with Miller. It was,
I want Miller to interview him.
Miller's playing ball. Miller's with Team USA.
Miller's going to he's on the FIBA World Cup qualifying team.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
They need a shooter. Couldn't think of a better guy. Couldn't think of a better catch and shoot shooter for their offense.
But speaking of Kamara, Brad, we added another Kamara too.
For which class? I saw this.
2025.
Linebacker?
Yep. Amari Kamara. Brother of Mikhail Kamara. I believe he was the last commit in the class of 2025.
Him and Jacob Bell were the only signings on signing day.
Yeah, signing day is officially dead. They also received a commitment from Ace Chiagnoli, I think. Chiagnoli. Very Italian sounding last name. I believe he plays receiver. That was another one too. But yeah, but getting Mikhail's brother. Now that's just it's family business here at Indiana Football. We got the Mendoza brothers, we got the DePepe brothers, and we got the Kamara brothers. Family business.
Love it. Yeah, I don't think that this Ace guy, I think, is a walk-on. So
I believe you may be correct.
You know my thoughts on that. Until they get PT. Until they get PT, we can't talk about them.
That's fair.
that's like my rule. We only talk about Turvey and Jeff Utzinger on this podcast. I'm sorry. We love walk-ons. But what I love more is giving credit where credit's due to the walk-ons that are able to get on the field, put in all the hard work, make our players better. Those are the guys. Shout out walk-ons.
You know what we can talk about, Brad, is Original Red being back in stock for SoCal Hot Sauce.
Say that again?
I said we can talk about Original Red being back in stock for SoCal Hot Sauce.
Oh, that's big time. That's huge on the smoke, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of Big Red Indiana, get your Original Red Hot Sauce at SoCalHotSauce.com. That was good, right? I guess Big Red is like Nebraska.
Or Big Red Liquors is in Bloomington.
Yeah. We'll work on it. Promo code 6inside, that's 2 words, 6inside. Free shipping starting at a 4-pack and above. You can get cases. I recommend the 4-pack. It's like $20 after the promo code and, you know, free shipping discount. So, yeah, I would rip it. Get the Original Red's back. So, Original Red, Hot Avocado, my favorite, and then Original Avocado. All three are gas. Red Hot is hot. Be wary with how much you put on it. But it's still really, really good. SoCalHotSauce.com, promo code 6inside, 10% off.
Check out SoCalHotSauce.com.
Yeah, SoCalHotSauce.com.
I can't remember if we did the Cignetti quote last week or if it was slightly after and on signing day. But Cignetti was quoted talking about departures from Indiana, saying that we didn't lose anybody we were projecting to start. You texted me, I believe, and said something like, oh, wait, no, you tweeted this. Something like straight shooter, always like from the hip with this guy. What did you say?
He's just a blunt guy. Like, he doesn't, what did I say? this man does not, I said he doesn't beat around the bush, is what I said. Very old.
That's what it was.
Saying.
That's what
he just doesn't. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of blatantly just saying Jameer Johnson wasn't going to start next year. That's why he left. That's why they brought in Gandy and Knighton, kind of start there. Boykin as well. He's going to play some nickel. They have Pons, Gandy, Knighton, and Jamari Sharp, all of which have starting experience at corner. Henderson, Bell, and Smith already there. They've probably seen some things from Henderson, I imagine. I imagine they have. That's gonna be a guy we're gonna preview later when we break down the rooms going into spring.
If I'm not mistaken, that's Jair Alexander's cousin.
Yes. Yes, it is. You are right. Number 20 on your program.
And number 1 in our hearts.
Not yet. He's gotta start if you say something like that. That's crazy. He's gotta put in the work. Hit the weight room, Dontre, if you're listening. I'm your biggest hater. Prove me wrong.
And then Sig got an A+ higher grade, like off-season higher grade. What else were you gonna give him? Seriously,
there's from where?
They actually don't. I honestly don't even know. I think the school gave it itself that grade. It just said like Indiana football off-season grade A+ with like a write-up, and I was like, they might have buried the source somewhere in the graphic, but to be honest, I didn't see it. So. Listen, if it's a self-awarded A+, I love it. I would say they didn't go high enough. I like the idea of like Scott Dolson and crew.
I'd
like,
say ace this first year. Honestly, I'd give it an A just because he didn't win the Natty.
I like the idea of Scott Dolson and crew like sitting in the war room as like the building burns down from Indiana basketball going like, Kurt Cignetti was an A-plus hire, right? Yeah.
Should we talk about Woodson retiring after this year?
Yeah, I want to get through the smoke real quick. I got one last thing. Barstool's Brandon Walker, if you give him the time of day, has been belittling Indiana football essentially all year. Our very own Mike Kadick, last week's SoCal Hot Sauce Hoosier of the Week, and former Indiana football player and son of Shane McMahon, Declan McMahon, went to the Royal Rumble, ended up sitting a couple rows behind Brandon Walker, and every single wrestler that came out got greeted with, "Did you know Mississippi State went 0-8 in the SEC this year?" Every single one of the 30 superstars to enter the Men's Royal Rumble got that greeting from Mike Kadick. And you could tell by the way Brandon Walker was
delivered. Wait, did they say it like on the show? No.
This is Brandon Walker giving his account of how his weekend was. He was basically saying, like, he sat over my shoulder the whole time and yelled at every wrestler about Mississippi State. He's like, I couldn't even enjoy the thing. Shout out to Mike Kadick.
No, I feel like Declan, what would have been funnier I was kind of thinking is if Declan McMahon somehow got his dad to convince all the wrestlers when they came out on stage to say that. That would have been next level.
Maybe, well, listen, this is Mike Kadick like a week into Barstool, so maybe Mike Kadick like 2 years into Barstool, maybe he gets like a WrestleMania match or something. You never know. I'd be watching, I'll tell you that.
That'd be fun. Spring game, April 19th?
Yeah, the spring game is April 19th, and that'll be the next football game we watch. Exciting stuff.
Wait, let me cross-reference. April 19th? Okay.
At noon.
So after that is when the recruits start coming in. For visits.
Mm. I'm assuming they're going to have guys there on officials.
Maybe. They haven't scheduled one yet. You would think they'd probably try to schedule these guys that already want to go to Indiana.
Boy, you're talking OVs. I'm saying unofficials.
Oh, UVs?
Yeah, UVs.
UVs? Yeah.
Wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's UVs. Do you want to talk about Mike Woodson and Indiana basketball, or do you want to talk about the SoCal Hot Sauce Game of the Week?
We could talk about the soup. Oh, man, that's tough, actually.
We can do both. Which one do you want to do first?
I know. That's what's tough. I know we're doing it both. SoCal Hot Sauce Game of the Week, just because I don't want to leave SoCal Hot Sauce for last because it's the best, and it should go first. If we could start the show with the SoCal Hot Sauce ad, I would. It's that good.
I love it. I love it.
Promo code six inside. That's two words. Six inside. It's so good. I just need the fellas over at SoCal Hot Sauce to hook me up with some more hot sauce. This is really why I'm plugging them so hard. Which should tell you how good it is. Because as passionate as I am about Indiana football, I am almost equally as passionate about SoCalHotSauce.com.
Here's my biggest takeaway from the Super Bowl, Brad. You now forever have to address Kenny Pickett as a Super Bowl champion.
Yes. It's a fact. Yeah, Kenny Pickett is a Super Bowl champion. I never said he wouldn't win a Super Bowl. Well, maybe I did.
I just want to say I feel like I won the Super Bowl. Watching him go out there,
won the Super Bowl then,
building his Spartan legacy like that, it was really inspiring stuff. To see him get on the field in any capacity at the end of the game, to have him take the last snap, like really cool stuff, really cool stuff. But to talk about the game, like I don't think any of us saw that coming. Did you?
I was surprised. I wasn't completely shocked because going into that game, if you were in the room with me talking about, you know, what I think the game's going to happen, I was probably talking about how the Eagles are probably the best team the Chiefs have faced in their 3-year run that they're on right now. So if they win this game, it'd be make it even more impressive the historic feat that they've accomplished, because this is definitely not the best Kansas City Chiefs team. I think I made the prediction about the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl because they're the Chiefs. They have this culture that I think I overlooked the O-line problems that they've had. Joe Tooney playing left tackle, it's just not going to work long term, especially with a front like that. Philly was able to rush for all game and get pressure, which basically won them the game. If you're able to do that, you win the game. Football's in the NFL has become almost that simple, because the level of athlete at the D line right now is unheard of, and it's at a point where it's at times unfair
Well, yeah, especially because,
how good these D linemen are these days, and Philly has a ton of them.
yeah, I had a buddy who was just hammering the fact that he's too small to play tackle, and like they were able to get away with it for so long, but they got exposed against lengthy, athletic defensive lines, and the Eagles have arguably the most length and young athleticism on that defensive line, all those Georgia guys. And then like a bunch of people on Twitter made this point, but if you just watch the way that their defensive ends crashed on like inside zones with split blocks and like pulling guards, like their ends weren't getting kicked out. Like the tackles and the guards and the tight ends who were pulling around to try and kick out these ends were just getting stonewalled in the backfield every time. Like there was just nowhere for Kansas City to run the ball. Every time they dropped back to pass, Mahomes was getting hit. And like you said, when you can literally rush 4 on 5 and get home damn near every single time, it almost is irrelevant who you have at corner.
Yeah, and it was pretty clear that the Eagles probably wanted it more too. I'm not saying the Chiefs didn't want to win their third straight Super Bowl, but when you get to that point, now you're facing the best team you've ever faced. And then you have this hungry, uber talented Eagles team where they have a Super Bowl MVP winning quarterback, and they're probably their biggest position of need. I'll still say it is the quarterback position, because it's more of a compliment to the rest of the roster, because they're just so loaded everywhere. They have the best O-line D-line combo in the league, and they also have guys named Saquon Smith, Saquon Barkley, DeVonta Smith, AJ Brown, like Dallas
DeVonta
Goedert. Grant Calcaterra terrorized my team
Smith.
in high school. Dude's an absolute freak. They're loaded. Like it is I slept on the Eagles. I was probably biased based, because I'm not a big fan of their fan base. It's hand up. I missed.
Yeah, I think we all kind of saying the same thing. It's like if going into the game, you're looking at both teams. They're both what Philly had 14 wins, Kansas City had 15 wins. You're just like these are Battle of the Titans. And then it's like if you really hindsight being 2020, go back and look at Kansas City's season, they were escaping by the skin of their teeth every single game. If you look at the way Philly ended the season, I think they killed everyone they played for the last 5 weeks, and they were just getting better. So yeah, it was really like when looking around, you're going, is Kansas City really the best team in the league again? It's like, no, it was actually Philly the whole time.
It's really disappointing, because I would have loved to see if Detroit was able to stay fully healthy this year. That Detroit Philly game probably would have been at Detroit if Detroit stays healthy anyways. Would have been game of the year. Would have been probably the two best teams in the league. Disappointing that we weren't able to see it. Jayden Daniels, more impressive, offensive rookie of the year. Makes his season even more impressive that game didn't happen. He's able to play spoiler this year. It's gonna be exciting. Looking forward to another NFL season. It was a little underwhelming, but best team won, and it's football. Football's awesome, and college football is just a more fun watch. Just like in the same sense of like I enjoy watching college basketball more than the NBA. It's just a little more fun when they're not as good. You know what I mean?
No, I'm with
Just,
you. And it's like
yeah.
when it almost feels like the effort level is higher. And that it not obviously not watching the Super Bowl or not watching like playoff games and like really not in the NFL, but most times, but especially in college basketball where it's like you can watch a regular season NBA game and they really don't even try till the last 8 minutes of the game. But I think this is a nice segue into college basketball.
Oh, did I unintentionally? All right, yeah. Well
Yeah,
done.
I Actually, I do want to say one more thing about the Super Bowl. I think, and this is just going to happen because they won, and it's well deserved. But like Jalen Hurts deserves his flowers. Like the dude's outplayed Mahomes in two Super Bowls. He's very much deserves to be in the conversation as any of the top quarterbacks in the league, and he's got more hardware than pretty much all of them except Mahomes.
Yeah, so, I say that he's their biggest position of need more out of a compliment to the rest of his roster. I do think there's a lot of quarterbacks that could have won the ship with that roster. I think of Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow. Josh Allen obviously comes to mind. Lamar. He was able to get the job done, and that makes him, in this era of football, at least a top 10 quarterback, not five. In this era of NFL where really the teams are so good and at every level you have talent and the real difference maker is how good your quarterback is. The fact he was able to get it done and stay consistent throughout the playoffs, not fuck it up, very impressive on his end. Because I just talked about how good these defenses are. Eagles aren't the only team with a really good defense. You see them week in and week out. There's freaks everywhere. And he was still able to get the job done. Now he's going to Disney World.
Yeah, they're in New Orleans. He's an East Coast team.
It is a bigger amusement park. Yeah. What's your favorite ride at Disneyland? Disney World, sorry.
Favorite ride at Disney World?
Because they have the same ride actually, both.
They just put in a couple new ones. They put in an Avatar ride, which is like soaring on steroids. That was incredible. They put in a Guardians of the Galaxy ride, which is awesome. I'm a fan of Disney, so like
I'm more of a space mountain, Splash Mountain.
I'm an Epcot guy though, Brad. I don't know if you've ever experienced Epcot, but
don't sleep on It's a Small World after all. It's a good one.
Yeah. Rock and Roller Coaster, I'd have to say probably is number one.
Oh man. Pirates of the Caribbean. Do you guys have that at Disney World? I think it might be only Disneyland.
I don't think so.
Ooh, Pirates of the Caribbean goes crazy at Disneyland. Goes hard. Speaking of crazy animatronics. It looks like Johnny Depp is literally right outside your boat. It's kind of nuts.
Speaking of Disneyland and Disney World, let's talk Indiana basketball.
Yeah, speaking of
the happiest place on earth.
Woodson will be going to Disneyland a lot now that he's going to be retired after the season. Indiana legend. Let everyone know that he's basically going to be hanging up the whistle after the season, which most would call disappointing.
Small caveat. And I'm pro Woodson.
I'm trying to frame it in a way that doesn't like, because the whole point of this is to like, we're not firing Woodson.
No, they're not firing Woodson, but I don't think that, just talk about it the way it happened. Like Scott Dolson released a statement saying they mutually agreed that Woodson's going to retire at the end of the season. Up to this point, we still haven't had a statement from Woodson about the incident. I mean, it's confirmed. It came from Scott Dolson. It came from the athletic department. But we haven't had anything directly from Woodson yet. I'm imagining that's going to be a really emotional statement. A very emotional, if he chooses to do it at a press conference, a very emotional scene. But I'm very pro Mike Woodson. I not in terms of like the job he's done as head coach of Indiana basketball. Like I'm going to be as critical as any fan watching the team would be. But in terms of like Mike Woodson, the human being, like that guy's a Hoosier. That guy's an Indiana legend. Like he deserves to be treated as such, and deserves to walk out of Bloomington like I wrote with his head held high, like knowing he got the most effort out of his team, and he deserves every chance to go do that down the stretch. They have another one tonight at 9:00.
Yeah, against Michigan State, who has a chance. Their head coach can break Bob Knight's record for Big Ten wins. All-time wins of a Big Ten coach. Is that the record? All-time wins of a Big Ten coach? Not Big Ten wins. That record's probably already broken by Izzo. And Painter, probably. Anyways, yeah, we got a big one tonight. I don't feel good about it. I think I described it to Keezer earlier. I think Michigan State's going to be bad, and then when we go home to UCLA, it's going to be even worse, is kind of how I framed it. UCLA just beat that Michigan State team. They're actually a lot better than them, and they actually match up in a way against Indiana to where it really works against them in terms of just how intense they play and how lack of intense Indiana plays. It's both of those. When I watched UCLA and Michigan State play, I think they're both going to be equally as bad, actually. I changed my take. They're gonna be as bad as you think they're gonna be, and it's just gonna continue. It obviously it's Woodson's fault, and I'm done just talking about how bad it is. But that's just what's gonna happen, and that's the way the season's gonna go. So I think the conversation just needs to turn to who's gonna be the next head coach.
Yeah, well, I think before the conversation turns to that, and this is what I wrote about today for KeySportsNetwork.com, I think the conversation needs to briefly turn to who it's not going to be. It's not going to be Chris Beard. And Chris Beard is a phenomenal basketball coach. It's not going to be. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be Chris Beard. Phenomenal basketball coach, has won everywhere he's went, tournament team at Little Rock, national championship runner-up at Texas Tech, top 25 teams at Texas and Ole Miss. I wrote about it. It came out today that, like, my personal opinion is it's incredibly difficult to overlook that report. The details that came out in that report were horrific. That being said, taking my own personal biases out of it, if you take a look at it from the lens of Indiana University, like, they fired Kelvin Sampson for a recruiting violation. They fired Kevin Wilson for, like, the way he was treating people around the team and the way he was handling injuries. They're in the middle of a sexual abuse lawsuit against longtime IU basketball team physician Bradford Bamba Sr. and longtime IU head athletic trainer for basketball, Tim Garl, I believe his name is. And so the university is not going to willingly take on another openly problematic hire, especially when it tries to preach that it's this shining beacon of hope and integrity and we do things the right way at the cost of success. To turn around and hire Chris Beard and people, listen, people can change. People can like do bad things in their life and then become a new person. But when you have the type of resources and you're going to have the type of ability to hire a large group of highly qualified candidates, there's going to be more than one other coach out there that has a similar enough resume and doesn't have the skeletons in the closet that Chris Beard does, where it's not going to put the university in a bind morally to make a hire. Well, I just can't see that happening.
Well, Keezer, I have a guy in mind who has a better resume and doesn't have any skeletons in his closet and has Indiana ties. He happens to be the GM of the Boston Celtics. His name's Brad Stevens, and he went to two back-to-back Final Fours with Butler. What do you think about him?
I'm glad you brought that up, Brad, because the second name I wrote about today and who's not going to be the head coach of Indiana University is Brad Stevens. You want to know why? And listen, again, Scott Dolson has to make that phone call. It has to be the first call. You have to have as many conversations as it possibly takes. According to Trilly Donovan, and however you feel about Trilly, Trilly says that Indiana, he presumes, is still talking to Brad Stevens because he hasn't heard any smoke anywhere else. I'll say, and it's almost impossible to remove my Celtics fan bias out of this, but you're looking at a guy who is coming off NBA Executive of the Year, coming off an NBA championship, coming off back-to-back off seasons where he just negotiated the largest deal in NBA history. I really don't think people understand how insulting it is to ask this guy to come back and coach college basketball. This guy hasn't coached in college since 2013. He hasn't coached basketball since 2020 or 2021, I believe. Like, you want to ask, like, has a team with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the NBA title favorite, and you want to ask him to come back and battle Tom Izzo for freshman? Like, what are we even talking about? It's asinine. Like, to ask him to take such a step back in terms of power, in terms of influence, in terms of status, in terms of, like, the day-to-day freedoms he has, like, the more I talk about it, the more unlikely it sounds. And the only reason he would come is if he wants it. But yes, he has Indiana ties. He didn't play at IU. He didn't coach at IU. He doesn't have any, like, coaching ties to Indiana. Like, he played at DePaul. He coached at Butler. He was there for 2 years and he dipped. And I put Chris Beard before Brad Stevens on that list because I literally think Chris Beard is less of a chance of happening than Brad Stevens. And Brad Stevens is zero. Zero. Not happening.
Okay, so that you cooked there, by the way. So if it's not going to be those two guys, who's it going to be? There's some names out there. There's TJ Oltzinger. I think the idea of you can go by the Cignetti model. All right, it's good with talent. Good finds talent. Has won at multiple places. I think is the biggest key here. And at a high level as well. I guess with the thing with Cignetti that I think should be different with the basketball. The thing with Cignetti that I think should be different with the basketball is the fact that I want a guy that's not only won at a high level at multiple places, but has done it at the high level. Like, I don't want to take the McCollums and the, you know, the guys at these mid-majors that are on the come up. We don't have time to risk an up-and-coming head coach. This has to be the slam dunk of slam dunk hires. If it's not, if it doesn't work as a basketball program, it's at a point where we're actually losing blue blood status. I make the joke that we're already not a blue blood all the time. It's at a point to where Indiana's been so irrelevant for so long that this is almost like they have to nail the hire, so they have to go. I mean, the NIL is always going to be there with them. And I'm not saying, like, if this one fails, like, it'll never come back. But it's really going to set the program back if it does fail. And players are going to be really hesitant to go there despite the NIL because there is so much pressure. And it hasn't worked out since Oladipo. And before that, it didn't work out since they won in the 80s. And it's like, what do you do?
I'm with you. And it has to be
a guy that's at a Power 6 program right now. Power 5, right? Big East, SEC, Big 10, ACC, Big 12. Did I miss one? I don't think I missed any of them. So those five. Has to be someone at one of those schools right now.
No, I'm with you. And, you can say it has something to do with the Archie Miller situation, whatever happened with Archie and targeting a coach at that level to come up. But I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, Indiana's at a point where the way the narrative has been stacked is the person who comes in here next has to win. They just have to win. Like, that's point blank period. And so to take somebody who's never been on that stage before consistently and ask them to come in and not only learn that aspect of it, but also handle all the off-court stuff that comes along with being the head coach of Indiana, that is an incredible ask. Like, that guy better be one of one, man, because it's not easy to come in here and coach in Bloomington. Like, you need somebody who's established. You need somebody who brings a track record of winning. You need somebody who, like, high school coaches are going to look at and be like, I trust sending kids on my team to that guy because I know the way he develops players. I know the way they recruit. Like, I don't think you can ever lose blue blood status. I don't think Indiana basketball will ever be as irrelevant as Nebraska football was for points of the last 30 years. But that being said, there was a John Rothstein quote that came out today, essentially questioning whether or not Indiana is a destination job anymore. And that is a ridiculous quote from somebody who follows college basketball. But it's not a ridiculous quote if we're having the same conversation in a year and a half, 2 years, then it becomes really problematic. And that's another part where it's like, you're not just going to have kids be hesitant to come to Indiana, but you're going to have coaches, high level coaches, hesitant to even step into the pressure cooker, knowing they probably might not have a chance to succeed.
There's about to be two coaches in between this new hire and Tom Crean. That's a seismic gap, considering if there could be a third in between there, and we have to find another one after this guy, which is why there's really there's really one like clear name that should be like, obviously Brad Stevens is the first call. So who's the second call? Right? So you have to just call him. You have to call Brad Stevens. Just tell him and make him say no. Right? Offer him 20 mil. Make him say that's ridiculous. You don't have the money, but we do. And then he'll be like, yeah, it's still not worth it. And then end of call. I've been talking about this name since last year when I was already kind of on the fence with Woodson. Obviously, I once things fall into place, I buy back in and, you know, I try to be optimistic and hope for the best as we have the best roster under his tenure, and it still doesn't work out. So, based on the criteria, has won at multiple stops at the highest level. It's Bruce Pearl. Here's a guy that should be at a blue blood program. Like, he's at the level of like a Bill Self, a Roy Williams, those types of guys. And for whatever reason, he's not at a blue blood. He turned around. He got Tobias Harris and turned around Tennessee. He got Auburn to a Final Four and potentially another Final Four this year if they can make a run. And a lot of people would ask, you know, why would he leave Auburn? Well, it's because, you know, this team that he has at Auburn right now, they are number one in the country, but this is their ride. This is their year. All these guys are gone next year. All of them. Broom, Chad Baker, Missouri, Miles Kelly, that young freshman they have, he's a one and done. They're gone. They're all going to be in the NBA next year. So it's honestly perfect timing for him to go to his next step, which would finally be in that blue blood stratosphere that he belongs. And there's things out there of him quoting Bob Knight and doing, you know, basically sending signals of Indiana, basically come get me. I don't know if they're real or not, but that should definitely be our second call. And I think he'd be very receptive to it if we give him the bag.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, at this point, like, I'm willing to take anybody's informed opinion on it, because it's like, I, as much as I love the Hoosiers, I'm not like super in depth into the rest of the college basketball coaching world. So like, I know as much as the next average person does about the best coaches in the game, but it's like, when it comes down to it, this high level of a coaching search, I'm going to defer to the experts. I just know it's not going to be Beard and it's not going to be Stevens. Yeah. And I like the idea of Pearl. I like the idea of Mick Cronin. I like the idea of Nate Oates. I like the idea of Dusty May. It's like, there are a lot of guys out there, and especially if money's not going to be an issue, like, Nate Oates' buyout is $18 million. If money's not going to be an issue, then Indiana doesn't even blink at that, if that's the direction they want to go. Mick Cronin's had his own problems battling UCLA, and he's had his own issues in terms of like how the public perceives him as a coach, but you can't argue with the results. Dusty May was just in Bloomington. You've seen the job he's done turning around Michigan. His buyout's small, but he just redid his contract. So we'll see what that number ends up being.
Yeah.
But it's like, there are a lot of really good basketball coaches with or without ties to Indiana that are going to get a real serious look. And I know that Scott Dolson, and whether or not the reports of how much control he had in making this hire, they were the administration that hired Mike Woodson. They were also the administration that hired Kurt Cignetti. So I'm confident in their ability to go out there and find the right guy.
I'm confident too. What does kind of throw a wrench into our plans though right now is that now everyone knows that the Indiana job is open, which kind of,
yeah, but puts anybody us in a paying any
attention, all these coaches into a leverage position where it's like, hey, Indiana called me, can I get a new contract extension? It's going to put a lot of coaches now. What is nice about that? It's going to bring a guy that won't be there all for the money. He's going to be there because he wants the Indiana job. He wants that pressure. He wants that. So on the flip side, I could see it as a positive, but does kind of put us. There's going to be guys that are going to come off the market by coming up with a new contract extension. Dusty May won't be the first to have it happen. There's going to be others that will follow suit. I still think Bruce Pearl is going to be the right guy. I like Mick Cronin. In the idea that he's kind of the modern day Bob Knight. Obviously he coaches my Bruins right now, and I'd be pretty devastated as a UCLA fan, but as a Hoosier alum, I'd be ecstatic. I think he's the embodiment of, you know, accountability from his players and making sure there's complete buy-in. And if you don't have buy-in, you simply don't play, because I recruit at a level to where I'm comfortable with all my scholarship guys playing at any given moment. So if you're not bought in, you're just not playing. I don't care how talented you are, and that worked really fast at UCLA, where there was a ton of talent there. They just were not clicking at all. And to flash forward 2 years later, they make a Final Four run. I mean, that's exactly what Indiana needs. If you want a fast culture shift, Mick Cronin's your guy. Bruce Pearl can probably bring in some guys in the portal, win right away. Mick Cronin will be, if we end up going with Mick Cronin, there will be some growing pains for sure, which could be a little dangerous being in Indiana for his situation in terms of how his process goes. So we'll see if he's interested in that job.
Well, I
those
think
are probably the two. Those would be the two big home run hires, though, in my mind for Indiana, guys that have just won at multiple stops.
The most important thing for whoever the next guy ends up being is getting complete buy-in to the program. If that ends up being a Bruce Pearl, if that ends up being a Mick Cronin, like at least personally, I'm okay.
Talking about from his players.
No, I'm aware, but I'm saying like. As a fan, I'm personally okay with not winning in 2025 if it means the program is moving in a healthy direction.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're the same as the rest of the Indiana fans.
I know for a fact I'm not, Brad. I know for a fact I'm not. You can follow Sigs Inside Indiana Football Podcast on Twitter at Sigs Inside Pod. You can follow Brad at Bradley_Loomis. You can follow me at Alec Keezer. Check out KeysportsNetwork.com. Brad dropped an article technically yesterday that came out today about Luka Doncic's debut with the Lakers. I dropped an article talking about Brad Stevens and Chris Beard, essentially the same conversation we just had. If you want to see a rehash or slightly more detail, check that one out. Shout out to SoCal Hot Sauce. Original Red back in stock. Promo code SIGS inside. Get 10% off your order. And shout out to the boys. Wave, Nick Skrill, Signar. Check out Friends and Collaborators. Instrumental Volume 1 on streaming platforms now. The intro song 1621. The outro song is The Sweet Sound of Butter Symphony.
Peace.
Hoosiers.